Okay, let's go on to our last case, and thanks to the Hollywood Group, we'll go back to the west coast of Florida. And Lowell Hart, this is your patient, an older woman, 76 years old, presents with altered mentation, anemia, abdominal bloating, elevated CA-125, hypercalcemia, omental caking, and a biopsy, maybe to their surprise, there's diffuse large B-cell. And so what happened, as with all these cases, you know, there's always a little sort of twist or problem or challenge. And Lowell, maybe you can bring us up to date on what happened to this woman.
Well, when I first saw her on hospital consultation, she was extremely ill. She was confused, bedbound, not eating anything, had a large abdomen, very distended. She had a calcium of 13.5 with an albumin of about 2, and she was quite symptomatic from that. So she was started off with fluids, some steroid, and pimidronate, and improved a little bit with that. When the CAT scan findings were obtained, she had, because she was so ill, they just did a CT-directed needle biopsy of the omental cake area. And when you review the pathology, you'll see that showed a diffuse large cell B-cell lymphoma. She was found to have a low PTH level, a low PTH-related protein level. She had an LDH of about 1,200. As mentioned, she also had a very high CA-125 level, and she was started on R-CHOP in the hospital. She had a good pretreatment ejection fraction, which was about 60-65% on echocardiogram. She improved over the next several weeks. She was in the hospital for about 10 more days and improved nicely. Started to get out of bed, still felt fairly weak, continued on chemotherapy with R-CHOP after that.
Can you just kind of bring us up to date on where she is now?
Sure. After 3 cycles, she was feeling much better. We repeated her ejection fraction, found it had dropped significantly to about 45-50%. She was asymptomatic from that. I don't always get a mid-treatment PET scan, but we did get one on her at this point so I could see if I needed to modify the treatment. She appeared to be in a complete response at this point, so she had a very dramatic response. All of her symptoms had resolved. So at this point, I did treat her with 1 cycle without the anthracycline in it. I then, you know, repeated her studies, and her ejection fraction was back up. So she's now finished her 5th and 6th cycle of R-CHOP with I dropped about 20% on the anthracycline dose, kept the other doses the same, and she was just in the office continuing to do well. Interestingly, her 125 dihydroxy vitamin D level was extremely high at the time that she was diagnosed. That was the only reason we found that she would have this hypercalcemia. That went down to normal as she started on chemotherapy, and the calcium has remained normal with no further pimidronate or other agents.
I guess an interesting sidelight, Dave, to this case is Lowell told me this woman's a member of his church, and he had presented another patient about 2 years ago who had a complete response to diffuse large B cells, also a church member. So, Lowell, I figure you're a pretty big hero in your church at this point, huh?
Yeah, they picked the right malignancies to have.
Okay, so I want to get the faculty's take also. I'm going to start with Mitch in a second about what happened there with the ejection fraction. Do you normally use the ejection fraction? What do you think about what was done here, dropping the doxorubicin for 1 dose? But first, Dr. Levine, if you can go through the pathology. I'm guessing that you probably thought this was ovarian cancer, Lowell, when this started out or when you first saw her.
Yeah, that's what her physicians had assumed at the start, and then they brought us in to see this patient with ovarian cancer who was just doing terrible, but obviously we got a big surprise.
Okay, so Dr. Levine, what'd you see?
Yes, this is another case where we're diagnosing and classifying off small fragments taken by needle core biopsy. They were received in formalin. We had no fresh tissue for touch preps or flow cytometry. None of the fragments were greater than a millimeter by the time they survived processing, but it certainly did not look like a epithelial tumor. The cytokeratins and the melanoma markers were negative. It was CD20 positive and was reported out as a diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, CD20 positive. Subsequent to that, prior to this discussion, I did an additional small battery of immunos and can let you know that it is CD10 positive, BCL6 and BCL2 positive. It is MUM1 and CD5 negative. The Ki-67 is positive at about 60%, so it does not appear to have an activated B-cell signature. We do not think it's a body cavity or effusion lymphoma, Burkitt's, non-Burkitt's, or HHV8-associated lymphoma, or a CD5-positive variant. I think the original diagnosis stands from what we have. Again, this is based on tiny fragments of the lesion. And of interest, we did throw in a calcitonin, and it was negative.
So actually, before Mitch, you comment on the management, let's go back to the tumor board. But Dave, what about the biology? I mean, this situation, you see CA125 with diffuse large B-cell. What about the hypercalcemia?
Well, I certainly don't see it a lot. You can see hypercalcemia fairly frequently. But I think this case was excellently managed and a nice job.
And what's the presumed pathophysiology of the hypercalcemia?
Well, in this case, I'm not sure. Maybe it's the PTH substance or similar.
I don't know. I defer
to the faculty. John?
I think it's often vitamin D associated. Just like in sarcoidosis, granulomas can make vitamin D. It's the same concept in both Hodgkin's and non-Hodgkin's, and it doesn't necessarily mean that there's bone involvement or anything like that.
So the tumor's making vitamin D?
It's essentially, yeah. I mean, the same thing in sarcoidosis. Lymphocytes have the ability to do that.
So, Mitch, what about the issue of ejection fractions and what happened here?
Yeah, so, you know, as you get older patients, you always worry about the anthracycline, and we all, you know, don't have a lot of data on following MUGA scans and echoes, but LV function, most of us would, especially in a patient this ill, and I think it's certainly reasonable once you have a decrease. Well, I mean, so there's two wishes. One is if it's low to start with and you don't think you can give an anthracycline, and the other is I've given a couple cycles, I'm concerned, and now it's low. There's not a lot of data out there, but there were two abstracts at ASH last year which suggested that you could change the anthracycline to etoposide in patients who couldn't tolerate anthracycline. And those results, again, not randomly compared, but looked reasonable with RCEOP. So I've done that in some cases, but I think, you know, it's worth trying the anthracycline. And then the issue is if you drop it and the ejection fraction comes back, are you comfortable that you're not going to do permanent damage? And there's no data. You have a patient with a lethal disease rapidly growing and, you know, you're trying to cure her. And so I think it's reasonable to add it back and just monitor closely.
Myron?
If she had no cardiac symptoms, my only concern is you have basically one chance of curing this lady at her age. She's not a candidate for autologous stem cell transplant. So I would not be cavalier, not to say that I would necessarily always continue, but I would probably be a little hesitant about cutting the dose of a potentially curative therapy. What I have done personally is substituted liposomal doxorubicin for the straight doxorubicin successfully, just in a series of patients. It's just my observation over the years, and I've had good responses and good results.
I've also done that, but I think, you know, there's not a lot of data to do that, and there is data now with etoposide, so I...
Well, there's also, then we'll see if the bisantrone story comes back to finish off.
Stephanie, what do you do in practice in terms of interim PET scans and diffuse large B-cell?
I do not do them. I do beginning PET scan and end PET scan and interim CAT scans, and CAT scans at both ends also.
Okay, let's go back to the tumor board. Lowell, any final questions for the faculty?
No, I appreciate the thoughts. I think I am going to use 8 cycles on this patient because of the severity of the disease that she had, and we did have that attenuated cycle in the middle. I like the idea of perhaps the liposomal doxorubicin. We're going to check her ejection fraction again. She just finished 6 cycles, so I like that idea also.